Hi, this is Steven.
And this is Tracy.
And this is Just the Two of Us podcast. Okay, everyone. Today's topic is, today we're going to talk about separating the art from the artist or the product from the producer. And what I mean by that, there's a lot of things in our lives, as far as artists, entertainers, musicians, actors that we might admire, and we admire their work, but in a sense that they have issues where they're not very nice people. They may have done something wrong or bad or, done things that you wouldn't quite agree with, but you're a fan of their art. And also, relatedly, I was thinking about, Tracy and I were talking about products versus the producers. There's a lot of products that people use and companies that they like and support that also do very bad things and things you may not necessarily agree with, but you like their particular product. And, we have these questions like, what do you do? Do you continue to support that product? How do you feel about it? Things like that. And, what do you want to talk about first, Tracy? You want to talk about artists or producers, companies of product?
Let's talk about the companies first.
Companies first, okay. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest company that's like in the news now that we could talk about is Uber, mm-hmm. the Uber transportation system, I guess, is mm-hmm. the way to call it. And for those who don't know, Uber is a car service app that allows you to dial up a car that will pick you up at your at wherever you are, and then take you to wherever destination you want to go. And with Uber, and it varies from city to city, but essentially in the New York area, Uber cars are licensed by the Taxi and Limousine Commission in New York. But in other cities, as I understand it, Uber cars could just be a regular Joe. Mm-hmm. It could just be a guy who decided he wanted to make some money on the side by picking up fares and dropping people off. Mm-hmm. Well, Uber's been in the news since they've started to expand their business across the country for a lot of different things. And there's a lot of controversies that come up with Uber, specifically with some of their policies with respect to surge pricing, mm-hmm. where Uber will raise the rates for taking their cars based on peak demand times. And sometimes those surge prices can go up to 6-7 times the regular fare. So mm-hmm. for a fare that's usually like $20, mm-hmm. could turn around and be a $200 fare during these surge pricing times. And that's one of the things people don't like about Uber. They don't like how they treat their drivers, and I guess Uber's mm-hmm. very strict with their drivers, and they cut drivers off if they get poor reviews very quickly. They've also started this predatory car loan program where they get people locked in because they require drivers to have a certain model year car, and they get them to sign up for these loans with these harsh terms in order to get them to get into a new car, and then most of these drivers don't make enough money to even like pay back the loan. So right. Uber has like a lot of issues with the way they treat their customers, the way they treat their own employees or drivers. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, we've used the Uber car service before.
Yes.
And frankly, like, we've never had a problem with them, I don't think. I don't remember us ever. I mean, we haven't used it that much.
Well, the only time we had a problem was when I tried to use it for our wedding.
I
ordered a car to go to take us to the spot for the photo shoot, and mm-hmm. we dialed up the guy, and then the guy was literally outside the hotel,
right?
And so he was ready, and I was like, oh, okay, well, can you give me like give me like 5 minutes, because I wanted to get everyone together so we could get in the car,
right?
And he was waiting, so I told my friend James to run over to the cabbie and just tell him, hey, everyone's coming down from the hotel room, give us 5 minutes. And then James walked away to come back to us, and then as James walked away, the driver like just picked up another fare.
Yeah, that's
some guys just came up and he just bounced on us, and like I was like upset about that. I'm like, dude, like mm-hmm. how you just gonna leave like that,
right?
So we had to secure the services of another taxi just to get to where we needed to go for the wedding. But Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the only time we've had like a bad experience with Uber. I mean, every other time I've had with Uber, it's been good. I mean, the drivers are always nice and courteous. They don't drive like maniacs like all the taxi drivers in New York drive. The cars are always clean, in good condition. The drivers do stuff like they ask you, you know, what kind of music you want to listen to, and they put music on an iPod just for you. You can follow them, their progress on the app when they come and pick you up, so you know how close they are.
That's pretty cool. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed Uber products, and I recommend it to other people.
Yeah.
To use it, and it may not apply outside of New York because you know they're not necessarily like licensed cars that are doing it, or licensed car company. So you know you might get some like random crazy serial killer type guy, but as far as New York is concerned, I really like it, and you know, I understand the issues that people have with Uber, but as far as I'm concerned, they do right by me. So, you know what I'm saying? That's all that matters as far as I see it.
Yeah, everything that you mentioned, I agree. Yeah, I think that they, at least in the city, they're very, what do I wanted to say? I think they're very... I'm struggling and trying to figure out what I want to say. Like, I think they are really cluing in on trying to get business in the city because it's so hard. I mean, there's like, 30,000 yellow cabs or something of that nature. Or I don't even know if it's that many.
Yeah, it's like 30,000.
So I think they really do a good job at trying to figure out what people are looking for and what they want in a system, a cabby system. And I think that for us, you know, like you said, we haven't had any problems that a lot of other people have been having. And in fact, it's been the exact opposite. I mean, we've been in some cabs that are just terrible. I mean, we thought like a couple times it seemed like we might lose our lives the way they were driving. I mean, I remember one time I was going to the airport. I was going to visit my parents in Florida and I took a cab and the cabbie got stopped by the police because he was speeding. He was doing like 80 miles an hour on like a 55. And you know, like that's not surprising because most of the cabs that we get into, they're just like speed demons. So, I actually really hate the cabs in New York, and if we can avoid taking them, we do at all costs. So Uber has been actually a blessing. I mean, we're not in the city anymore, but it's been a blessing for us because when we do want to take something, we call it. And, you know, I think the biggest complaint people say about Uber is the pricing of it. And, you know, I have never called an Uber. You have always called the Uber, and every time you tell me, I mean, it's like they give you all of these, I guess, warnings, if you will, or notifications of like what the charge is going to be. And so that's the one thing I don't understand. If like you are warned several times, like this fee, price, rate, this rate is going to rise and it's going to be this or that. Do you accept that? And you keep pressing yes, but yet you complain. Right. People complain that they didn't have any idea about the price. I don't understand.
People are idiots. I mean, that's the bottom line. People are just complete dummies.
Well, not everyone is an idiot.
Well, most people, people who accept the charge and then complain about it later are idiots because the way Uber works, I mean, when you sign up for a car, you put in your destination and then it gives you an estimate of the fare. Right. And under Uber, there's different car classes you can select. You can select like a premium SUV. Mm-hmm. You can select like a black town car.
Right.
You can select, and another option is Uber X, which is going to be like just a basic car, like a Toyota Camry or like a Nissan Sentra or something like that. And the price is very based on like the class of car you get. Right. And then if you select a destination, it gives you the estimate of, you know, how much it's going to be. Now, when surge pricing is in effect, and those are situations where demand is going to be at a peak. So it's when it's very poor weather outside, where there's like large events going on in a particular area. And Uber claims that they implement surge pricing because it's difficult to get drivers out on the road in those situations.
Right.
So they implement the surge pricing as an incentive to get drivers to go out there. If drivers know, I'm going to make more money if I go out there, then that's why they use surge pricing. But when there's a surge pricing situation, what happens is it will tell you surge pricing is in effect, and they will say your fee or your fare is going to be a multiple of what the normal fare is. So it will say the fare is going to be 2.5 times what the normal fare is.
Okay.
Or 3 times or whatever. And it gives you an estimate. It doesn't give you the exact cost.
Right.
But it gives you a pretty good estimate range. You know, it'll say between like 40 or between 40 and 50 bucks.
So in your experience, has it ever been like way over that estimate? Like, has it been like triple the estimate or something crazy?
No, because like once they give you the estimate, it's going to be in that estimate range.
Right.
You know?
So yeah, why people complain is kind of like...
Right. Especially when Uber, and they ask you multiple times, and like when they tell you surge pricing is in effect, they'll say surge pricing is going to be 8.5 times the regular fare.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, do you agree to this fare? Do you still want to ride?
Right.
And in
right.
order to say, to assent to it, what you have to do is you have to type in 8.5 into the app to confirm that you understand it's going to be 8.5 times more.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's simple as that. And then the car comes and then, okay, then they pick you up. And then when you get your bill comes via email, your receipt, it says, you know, okay, this is how much it was. This is the surge pricing. This is like how much it would normally cost and the surge pricing surcharge. I don't understand what the problem is with people. Like, I just don't understand why they're not,
what?
Like,
that's not getting it.
Why they're complaining about it. And some people, I've read many comment boards on articles about it saying, well, they're taking advantage of people because, you know, you're out there and you're drunk and you don't know what you're doing. I was like, wait a minute. See, that's your first mistake, because you're being out there drunk and you don't know what's going on. Mm. I mean, what's stopping a yellow taxi cab from doing the same thing to you? A yellow taxi cab can take advantage of you in your drunken state and drive you around Manhattan 5 times before he drops you off at your apartment.
That's true.
You know, and it's and it's funny that people feel that way about Uber. And then I guess, you know, people say because they have these business practices that people don't agree with. You know, I guess the CEO has done some controversial things as well and said some controversial things that you shouldn't support them. And I'm of the belief, like, hey, they do right by me.
Right.
You know, and I think it's a situation where there's a lot of companies where we can't stand on a moral high ground on all these companies and say, well, they do this wrong, they do this bad, like, I'm not going to shop there, and then you shouldn't either. Because in America, there's just about every company we deal with, as far as the products we get and the products we buy, they're manufactured overseas and manufactured by these multinational companies where they all done something shady. They have shady business practices. And it's like, if you just can't pick and choose what you're going to do. I mean, it's like with Apple and you know, Apple products. Many people love Apple products. They've been selling billions of worth of products for the past 35 years or so, and people don't like how they have these factories in China and some in Brazil, where they, you know, people claim they're kind of sweatshops for manufacturing Apple products. You have these people who are working crazy hours for minimal pay, and people think that, you know, Apple's, you know, running a sweatshop with respect to these products. And my view is, yes, so is everyone else. I mean, that shirt you got on has probably come from a sweatshop in, like, India, for example, you know? And it's like, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, but it's like people want to get on their moral high horse about certain things because they're picking and choosing which companies they want to support or not support.
Well, I think it's tough because, you know, some people in America obviously wouldn't stand to work in such conditions themselves and feel very strongly about it. I mean, take, for instance, you know, the strong union system,
right,
you
want to
call
it
here. Yeah, and so, you know, when you have these other places that don't adhere to those sort of systems or won't implement those sort of systems, you know, I mean, those things can be tough for people. I mean, for me, I don't know. I feel really bad saying this, but I guess I just don't think that deeply about it. And that sounds really terrible, but I guess I don't think that deeply about it. I mean, I would like, sure, I guess in all actuality, I would love for all of my products to be made in the U.S., you know, by, you know, companies that really held themselves to high standards, and that would be, you know, essentially what I would like, but that's just unfortunately not the case. I mean, I don't know how many companies or products that we get from China, but it's like a lot. I'll just say it's a lot. Yeah. We all know that. Like, I mean, you can look probably on every tag of every clothing and every like product you own in your home right now, and most likely it was made in China. Right. And you know
those people are to some extent being exploited, you know, and making right. that stuff. I mean, China obviously doesn't have the same labor laws as the U.S., the strong labor laws, mm-hmm. and, you know, as far as the Chinese government's concerned, I mean, they're a little bit more lax in how they treat companies, more so than the U.S. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to just say, you know, I'm not going to support any of these companies because they have shady business practices. They treat mm-hmm. their employees poorly. Sure, go ahead. Good luck with that. But then you're just going to be walking around naked and you're not going to have a stove. You know what I'm saying?
You're not going to have a stove. You're not going to have half of the things right, you have.
You're not going to have anything you have. You know?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. It's very hard to find things that are made in the U.S. So,
and there are. I mean, there's plenty of things that are made in the U.S.
Right,
but,
there are things that are, yeah,
but,
of course.
But, I mean, even then, I mean, we talk about things that are made in the U.S., consider that even if something's made in the U.S., there's a lot of companies in the U.S. that don't, you know, don't treat their particular employees well. I mean, you look at places like, you know, Walmart and Amazon. Right. Amazon's come under fire because of, like, the way they treat their warehouse mm-hmm. employees. I mean, the vast majority of Amazon's warehouse employees are considered part-time, mm-hmm. so some people might think that, you know, that's just them using it as a way to avoid paying full-time benefits to mm-hmm. to the employees, and people have complained about how they're treated. You know, with Walmart, it's the same thing. Like, Walmart doesn't let their, you know, keeps most of their employees part-time, so they don't have to pay them full-time benefits, and mm-hmm. they get very low pay
right.
in exchange for their work, and that helps Walmart keep those prices low. I mean, Walmart mm-hmm. gets a lot of their products from overseas and places that right. have, you know, disreputable reputations mm-hmm. overseas. And that's how Walmart can sell you, you know, a 48-ounce box of cereal for $2.99, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, and Walmart's the most popular, largest brick-and-mortar retailer in the United States.
Right.
So people are obviously discounting that. Yeah. Those controversies with Walmart, and they're still going there. Like, me personally, I don't really shop at Walmart. I've probably shopped at Walmart 5 times in my entire life, mm-hmm. but it's not a place that I normally go to. So, mm-hmm. you know, part of it's for that reason. I mean, I'm kind of like picking and choosing which companies I support, and I'm trying not to support Walmart.
Okay, so why would you continue to support Walmart? Or, I'm sorry, not. Yes. Why would you not support Walmart, but buying Apple products is okay?
And I never said buying Apple products was okay.
well, you buy Apple products. Right.
I'm admitting my hypocrisy on this issue. But I think in all these situations, for me and for anyone else who's abreast of the issues, I think that we all make a judgment call, you know, within our own belief system on what mm-hmm. we're going to stand for and what we're not going to stand for, what we're going to turn a blind eye to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Apple, and I think it's easier with Apple in a sense that it's kind of like, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, you know, China is like 10,000 miles away. You know, I don't really know what's going on over there. I mean, you have reports of things, but who really knows? Mm-hmm. So it's easier for me, you know, mentally just kind of like push that aside and dismiss it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's right, but I'm just saying that, you know, that's the thought process that kind of goes on in my head, mm-hmm. as opposed to Walmart, where there's a Walmart right down the street.
Yeah.
And I know those people are making like $8 an hour. You know, mm-hmm. they're making like minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell these people don't want to work there. And you know, the Walton family mm-hmm. that owns Walmart. I mean, each one of those like children that were
like quadrillionaires.
Each child and the widow of like Sam Walton is worth like, you know, $10 billion mm-hmm. each of them. So it's like, that's you see amazing. Them getting rich off of this, and it's, you know, it's kind of mm-hmm. different for me. But I mean, yeah. I am no way saying like it's a better situation. I am recognizing my own hypocrisy mm-hmm. in this issue, and I think more people need to recognize it rather than getting on their soapbox and just pointing the finger at people and just poo-pooing like you shouldn't be, you know, buying from this company or supporting this company because of this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. while they're, you know, they're basically ignoring their own hypocrisy and the other decisions they make by companies they support.
Right. I mean, because you don't know, and that's the thing. All of these companies that we buy products from, you know, we really don't know. We can bring up Chick-fil-A, you know, and all the controversy that they endured. you know, over the last, was it all last year or year before last?
It became big year before last. But I mean, I guess they've always had this.
Yeah.
This has always kind of been something that's been bubbling under for Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm, right. So it's kind of like with that, you know, I mean, you have to pick and choose. And it was funny. And it was funny when the whole Chick-fil-A stuff went down because, I mean, people love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I mean, that chicken is good. I mean, that's some good chicken.
Chick-fil-A is delicious. Sorry, but it's so delicious. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, I mean, you have to look at it like, look, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes of every single company that we support. I mean, if you go to McDonald's, Burger King, any of those fast food chains, I mean, we don't know what, you know, is going on at the top, even non-fast food, any other like retailer out there. I mean, you just don't know what goes on at the top. And so to say like, oh, well, I'm not going to support Chick-fil-A because they have, you know, the CEO, I guess it is, or the president, whatever, has issues or supports gay anti-gay
organizations. Gay, like, they give political contributions to certain, like, candidates and organizations.
LGBT people. So it's like, okay, we know that about Chick-fil-A.
Right, and that's the issue. Like, they're such a high-profile company. We know about them. Right. We don't know what these other companies are doing
because it hasn't come out yet. You know what I'm saying? Just wait. Like, I'm sure, like, something's going to come out about somebody. But, yeah, I mean, we don't know what goes on with all of these other companies and who their, you know, CEO, president, whoever is contributing to behind the scenes, what they support, don't support. So, you know, it's like Hobby Lobby when all the Hobby Lobby stuff just came out. You know,
Because they, you know, the Obamacare, and they didn't want to support the birth control stuff.
You're right.
And it seems it boils down to, it's kind of like, I guess, the same thing with Forever 21. These companies that have, like, a faith-based companies that, you know, the founders are very strong with whatever religion they practice, and that... Right. You know, that contributed to how they run their company and how they do certain things. And I mean, on one hand, like, yeah, I mean, it's wrong, but like in the case of Chick-fil-A, because, you know, we love eating at Chick-fil-A, the one thing that's like I think about when I try to rationalize my going to Chick-fil-A, as like I said before, we all find ways to rationalize, you know, ignoring certain things, is that, as far as I know, and someone can correct me, and it might be true, but as far as I know, Chick-fil-A hasn't been accused or hasn't been found guilty or liable of, you know, discriminating directly against, you know, LGBT people.
Right.
There's no indication that I know of. Then again, I didn't do the research, so don't quote me on that. But they're not accused of, like, not serving gay people in the restaurants.
Right. Or not hiring.
Or not hiring gay people or discriminating against them in the workplace once they find out someone's gay. Like, as far as I know, that hasn't been the case with Chick-fil-A. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't heard anything either.
Right, and the issue with Chick-fil-A is, like, okay, the people who run Chick-fil-A have a certain belief and they have a certain faith that they have, and that's how they, you know, contribute their money and do things like that, which is kind of, you know, that's wrong. I mean, they shouldn't be doing that, because, you know, I happen to disagree with that position that those people who are in control at Chick-fil-A or some of the executives are. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, have they broken the law? Have they done anything directly, you know, other than, okay, we want to give money to this particular organization?
Yeah, they can feel free. I mean, honestly, it's like they can feel free to support whoever they want to support. I mean, there's, you know, unless they have some sort of stipulation in their, like, company's policies where they aren't supposed to contribute to, you know, political campaigns or...
Well, we know going well, I mean, with the Citizens United Supreme Court decision, I mean, that's out the bar now. Everyone, all these companies could just give as much money as they want to whatever candidate or whatever cause or super PAC they want to do. So it's like, you know, that's just going to happen. I mean, you're going to see more and more of it, of companies throwing money around willy-nilly to, like, different candidates and organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this might, you know, stuff like this might come out more. You might come and find out that certain other companies have beliefs that differ from yours, but you still love the product. So what do you do?
Like, what do? You stop supporting? I mean, I feel like there are just so many things going on behind the scenes that could come down to not supporting a lot of people. If you're that type of person who's like, well, they support this and I don't agree, so I'm just going to stop. I mean, that could happen for so many companies. And
right.
What do you just... Yeah, like what you said. What you said earlier, like, are you just going to walk around naked?
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, in your home or whatever, and just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's much you can do. I mean, if you want to get on your moral high horse and take a stand, then go right ahead. I mean, more mm-hmm. power to you. But, I mean, there's a lot of people, I would think the vast majority of people have difficulty doing that mm-hmm. and being consistent with it. You, I don't think you can be consistent. I'm not consistent, and I readily admit that I'm not consistent.
I was just thinking, too, about, you know, companies here in the United States. I was thinking about farmers and
farmers.
Not those farmers. But just farmers who employ
migrant workers.
Yeah, about that. Or any of those, you know, I guess day workers who you know, like,
those people are obviously being exploited, but you still sitting up here eating a banana, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't like going like, I'm not eating no bananas because, you know,
you wouldn't eat any fruit if that was, or vegetables for that matter,
exactly.
If that was the case.
You
I mean, like, it's so unfortunate that this happens, but it's happening, you know. I don't know how long it's been happening, but it's happening, and it's like, yeah, what do you do about that? You know, do you just not eat any fruit and vegetables anymore?
Yeah.
You know, anything grown in a field or whatever, like.
That's a good point. I mean, I just think, not to belabor this point, and we can wrap up this particular topic, but I just think you just have to rationalize within yourself what you're willing to accept and what you're willing to put your foot down on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. And I recognize that hypocrisy and I embrace it, but I'm also always trying to evolve and learn and change my beliefs, you know, on something. Like, I might not necessarily, in the future, I might not go to Chick-fil-A to get that number one with the sweet tea because it's oh so good.
But did not just call out your order.
I mean, that number one with sweet tea is so good. Or the number one with the lemonade. Oh, my God, it's so good.
I am very I am excited about this because.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Because, I mean, come on. What? I put you on the Chick-fil-A.
You did. Admittedly, you did put me on the Chick-fil-A. Because before I met you, I had never had Chick-fil-A before. You know? Because I'm from Detroit. There's no Chick-fil-A's up in Michigan.
Well,
you know
the first
time
I had it was when I moved to
Right. You moved down to D.C. Yeah. And I never had Chick-fil-A before. I just heard about Chick-fil-A. And that's a pretty good chicken sandwich. I mean, it's darn good. But but who knows? My beliefs might evolve, and you know, I might stop going there. I might stop buying Apple products.
I mean,
might
it's not
stop
like we go there
Uber.
Often.
No, because
it's around here.
We're not really around here, so we don't really go. But yeah, it's just I just think people have to look within themselves and make that decision.
Exactly, I agree. Well, did you want to move on to the next?
Yeah, we can move on. And relatedly to that, and this one's pretty. You know, topic that's been in the news,
huge
news, is separating the art from the artist. You and I talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, most recently we've talked about this in the context of Bill Cosby and, you know, the rape and sexual assault misconduct allegations that have come out, who have been raised again. I mean, they initially came out about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was some press about it, and I remember reading about it. And I was like, oh, man, this is crazy, you know? And the story kind of just eventually, like, disappeared. I mean, it was a few women that came out, and then the story didn't go anywhere. Then this year, comedian Hannibal Buress was workshopping some material in a local comedy club. Someone recorded it with their cell phone, put it on the internet, and next thing you know, the story blows up again as if it was a new allegation.
Exactly.
But this is the same stuff that we talked about 10 years ago, but for whatever reason, people had that Men in Black, like memory eraser thing on them, because people completely forgot about this. I don't know why. Like, I remember it, but people are like, what? Bill Cosby's raping folks? Like, yeah, they talked about that 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting new traction now. It looks like it's getting a lot more traction now than it did before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the question is, like, you know, because I think Nick at Night stopped showing, like, Cosby Show reruns, mm-hmm. which is arguably one of the best sitcoms ever, and made, you know, part of one of the sitcoms that saved NBC when it premiered in 84, because NBC was struggling for a few years before then. And it's, like, a huge sitcom. And it's, like, very funny show. And the question is, like, you know, can we still look at the Cosby Show in the same lens, mm-hmm. or enjoy Bill Cosby's like comedy or stand up routine, mm-hmm. having the knowledge that this dude essentially just raped his way through the 70s and 80s. It's like he just went through as like, I'm just gonna rape everybody I can and hope that they all forget about this. I mean, mm-hmm. and can we still like enjoy that stuff?
I mean, I think it's getting to the point. Well, for me, I'm getting to that point, and I know this sounds crazy, but I wrote a blog post about this, so you can really read my thoughts there. But I mean, I'm getting to the point because there's so many women that just keep coming forward now, where I feel a little, I don't, should I say, grossed out? Mm. I mean, I guess I've been feeling grossed out, but now I'm feeling like, ooh, I'm starting to look at him a little differently. And I know that's crazy for me to say. I'm just now starting to, because there's been like, what, 30 women or I think they...
But what about... something? You didn't look at him differently when you saw that picture of him in the robe that Janice Dickinson took of him when he was like...
No, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that picture? He's like, he's wearing a robe and he's like chilling and he's got like the phone to his ear.
What? I know that was
like a pretty gross looking picture.
I didn't see that picture.
Yeah, it's like, Bill. Like, he's like the hood Hugh Hefner in that picture.
Oh,
right?
Wow. I didn't see that. I'm glad I didn't see that. I don't want that image in my head.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like for me to separate, you know, I mean, we can't deny, like, he is a very, very, what do I want to say? Like, just... I mean, he's just been so influential in the comedy world, you know, especially as a black comedian.
And right. And I think no matter how people feel about it, I think every comedian and a lot of people recognize, like, how funny he is. I mean, there's people who have had issues with him for years over his comedy, you know, like, you know, he, you know, criticized Eddie Murphy for cussing so much in his act. And, you know, and those people, you know, Richard Pryor, but none of them would turn around and say Bill Cosby wasn't funny. Like, they might have their problems with Bill Cosby and the way he treated them or talked about them, but not one comedian or other people was like, oh, but he's not funny. Because the dude was funny, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's hysterical. I mean, it's, you can't deny that. But yeah, I mean, all this, these allegations that are coming out, I mean, I'm at the point now where it's just like, you know, I'm just kind of like, we have to see what's going to happen. I mean, I've been very much, and like I said, I wrote a blog post about this, but I've been very much in the middle of his whole situation. Like, I don't know where to go with it, because it's, you know, I'm not going to even lie. Like, it's really hard to believe. I'm just like, Bill Cosby? Like, really? And, you know, people have pointed out that this is, you know, okay, you have to separate the fact that he is this guy who's on TV and, you know, it's like you have to separate that from...
Right,
because
he wasn't Heathcliff Huxtable.
I mean, that's the thing. But, like, yeah, when you see him on The Tonight Show, when you see him in other situations, like, obviously you know, like, okay, he is a character, like, you know, whatever. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, when you see him in these other venues, you still kind of freak out about it. Like, really? That guy?
Yeah, I mean...
I just can't believe...
Yeah, I think the problem is that people do really have the difficulty separating the two, because he was like... You know, The Cosby Show was pretty big and formative to a lot of our, you know, our youth and our formative years. And for people a little bit older, it may have been like, you know, Fat Albert and things like that.
Right.
And, you know, he did stuff in the 70s, so people kind of...
Right, I Spy.
Right,
yeah.
I Spy in the late 60s. So people don't really expect that from him. But... And what I find interesting in this, you know, I'm kind of going a little bit off topic, is, you know, how much vitriol is directed his way from people now that, like, these allegations are starting to get a little bit more steam. In the sense that, like, I think, you know, if you look on Twitter and you look on, like, message boards and things like that, like, people are, like, really going in on him.
And I think
a lot of people are... I just think people want to be going in as hard if he had never had come out years ago and started, you know, chastising black folks for, you know, all the things he's been saying about black folks, pull your pants up. And, you know, he was saying, like, you know, some of the poor people, or uneducated people, aren't pulling their weight, and, you know, the whole pound cake speech thing from a few years ago. And because a lot of people, you know, started turning off of Bill Cosby because of the critical things he said about, you know, the black community, I think that's giving people, like, you know, more of a carte blanche to, like, go in even harder on him. Because if he had never said all this stuff that, like, kind of diminished diminished their view of Bill Cosby. If he was still like Bill Cosby from the Cosby Show and he never said all this other controversial stuff, mm-hmm. and these allegations came out, I don't think people would be going in as hard as they are now. Like, people are just going in and they're merciless. And I'm not saying I disagree with them in the least, but I just think it'd be interesting to think about, would these people be so hard and harsh in their comments if Bill Cosby had never like upset so many people years ago when he started, you know, talking about this self-respect and the respectability politics that he's mm-hmm. he's the agenda he's been pushing lately. If he had never started that and he was still the Jell-O pudding pop guy and everyone loved him, mm-hmm. would people be this harsh with their comments about him and talking about him? And I just want to talk about that to the side, because I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I don't know if I am able to separate the art from the artist at this point.
With him.
Yeah, with him. Because, yeah, I mean, it's just getting uglier and uglier.
I guess it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I can. I mean, I think generally I can. For him, I think I can. I mean, I'm not someone who sits up and watches, you know, Cosby Show reruns
right
nowadays. But I mean, if an episode was on, I was surfing through the channels, I would watch it, and I might in the back of my head have a little bit of a thought about him, you know, getting his rape on, and then I'd be like, oh, dude. But then, like, I'll forget about it and then laugh, because, like, I'm laughing at this character, Heathcliff Huxtable. He's eating his hoagie. He's having dreams about giant hoagies. And so that's what I find, you know, humor in. And it's the same thing with, like, Michael Richards and who played Kramer on Seinfeld, and like mm-hmm. how, you know, he was being heckled when he was trying to do stand-up, and he wasn't really a trained stand-up, so he kind of went off and then, you know, yelled some racial slurs at people mm-hmm. and in some crazy manic, you know, episode on stage, like he just lost his cool. And some people said, you know, they won't be able to see him the same after that, and mm-hmm. you know, can't watch Seinfeld. Like, I've completely dismissed that. Like, I can still watch Seinfeld and laugh at him and laugh at Kramer doing
things. See, that I can't. That, I don't look at him the same after saying something like that. Mm-hmm. See, like, all this stuff with Cosby and why I stay in the middle is because a lot of this, obviously, all these women who are coming forward, all this stuff happened so long ago.
Right.
And, you know, and yes, I've been one of those people who, I'm just asking. I'm not saying whether they are lying or not. I'm just asking a simple question. Why did you wait so long? And, you know, a lot of people say, well, because you're so powerful and all these things, no one would believe me. And I'm just kind of like, okay, at the time, sure, that makes sense to wait a year or two. But some of these chicks have waited 30 years. Well, no,
so but in their defense, like, because I don't have that belief. I don't think, like, why you wait so long. Because, yes, at the time, he was very powerful. But then also, as years went on, they probably just, like, accepted it and dealt with it. It's like, this is something terrible that happened
well,
to me.
Well, they haven't accepted it.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
They're coming back now.
Well, because they're coming out now because, like, it's in the mainstream again. Like, they see, like, I guess maybe like a moment of weakness. Like, before, they just, even though it happened 30 years ago, they probably just kept thinking, like, there's nothing's going to happen to this man. I mean, it's happened to me. This is a terrible thing. There's nothing I can do about it. And they just feel powerless about it. And then now with it coming up again because of, you know, the Hannibal Buress joke, I think people, and it's getting more and more traction in the media, I guess people are finally coming out, you know, getting the strength to, like, you know what, I am finally going to say something about this because there's other people like me. And plus, it's not like there's, like, a support group for these women where, like, they all know, yeah, there was about 50 of us who were raped by Bill Cosby. Like, they probably didn't even know the extent of, like, the actions. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that there was like 30 other women. So mm-hmm. it's like, once you start hearing more and more stories come out, it gives them some, you know, some strength that you come out and say, yeah, he, you know, he did this thing to me as well, because you see that you're not alone. You're not alone in this. I mean, a lot of them may have thought they were alone in it. You know, they probably didn't know there was like 40 other women that he did this to. So I'm not going to, you know, beat them up for waiting for years.
I'm not beating up anybody. I just like to ask questions. Like,
yeah, I see.
I always ask questions. I'm a very curious person, so I'm always going to ask questions. And I'm not the only one that's asking why these women waited so long, because it just seems like at this point, like, regardless of whether you now know that there are other women, Like, what is the end game here? What are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to put this man in jail? He's 77 years old. Like, really? Are they going to send him away for the rest of his life? Like, what are you trying to get out of it?
Right. I mean, there's nothing
you can do. It's been 20, 30 years. So, I just don't.
Right. There's nothing you can do at this point. I mean
like, except for want money out of it.
But they're not even going to be able to get money out of this because statute of limitations is going to run. For most of them, statute of limitations will run for whatever.
But aren't they being represented by, like, Gloria Allred? So, like, yeah, what's but that
she's
about?
A shyster anyway. But, yeah, I mean.
But, I mean, what's the point of getting legal representation at this point, then?
Well, maybe they don't know. Maybe she's making promises to them that she can't keep. I mean, I haven't, like, done any legal analysis on this. But I'm just saying that as far as, like, the statute of limitations, like, I'm pretty sure most of these women are going to be barred from getting, from filing any cause of action against him and recovering any damages for, whatever sexual misconduct or whatever he did. I mean, if anything, it would be whoever is the most recent, recent victims of him. But, the one thing I was thinking, you're saying about people, what do they expect to happen? Like, one thing I'm unsure about is, like, people who are protesting the shows, because he's doing shows now. He's on this tour. He's, went to Canada and did some shows. And people are outside, marching and picketing. And to me, I'm thinking, like, okay, what is that going to do? Like, I'm not saying, like, he's not guilty. Like, I don't know if he's guilty or not. And, but in all likelihood, he raped those women.
I mean, clearly something happened.
Like, yeah, I think it's, I think it's a 95.9% chance. I give him 4.1%. that he did something to all those women. But people, like, what are you hoping to accomplish by going out there and, like, protesting? And which is one thing. And if you're going to protest, I mean, that's fine. But I think at one of his most recent shows, like the last one he did, someone actually, like, heckled him inside. And I think, okay, that's, like, going too far in the sense that there are 2,500 other people there who came to watch him for whatever reason. They wanted to watch him perform.
Right.
And for you to actually disrupt the show, to me, that's wrong. And, people might think my opinion is wrong, and that's a silly opinion. But I think it's wrong. It's one thing you can express your beliefs and march outside and hold up picket signs, and that's your right. And I'm not going to bash you for that. But when people start going in and disrupting the show, it's like, okay, you're just messing it up for everybody else. And he still hasn't been proven that he did anything wrong, And it's like, and what are you getting out of this? Like, you going inside the show and disrupting that, But if you want to write op-ed pieces, think pieces, you want to march and picket and gather outside where he's performing or appearing and doing stuff like that, more power to you. Go right ahead. But I just think it's like just going too far to just disrupt what he's doing without having any proof of anything at this point, It's like, why would you even do something like that?
But that's what I've been feeling the whole situation. It's just like, there's no proof, and yet people are going really hardcore in and, just saying that he did it. And I mean, you're assuming, like I said, I believe something did happen, but what exactly happened, we're unsure of that.
Well, see, I'd go further than you. I'm just going to put it out there. I think he probably slipped those women Mickeys. I mean, he probably was giving them, Mickeys and roofies, and because it's like the swinging 70s, baby, and like that's what people do. And he was like thinking, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. And I think he probably most likely sexually assaulted those women. I'm not going to say 100% certainty, but I'm going to give a very, very high percentage that that's what happened. I'm not going to hedge and say, well, something happened. No, like, I think he raped those women, But at this point, what are you going to do about it?
Hard to say, because no one remembers anything, so.
Yeah, and it's like, and another big story that, was recently in, like, the past 15 years or so, is like with R. Kelly.
Yeah.
The same thing where he, separating the art from the artist, this guy was accused of, and that's someone I have difficulty separating the art from the artist, because he's accused of, like, having sex and, performing certain things with underage girls. I mean, girls who weren't of the age of consent. And, he was on trial for that, and he, for whatever reason, was able to get off.
That's amazing.
Because I think he paid off some of the witnesses and the family, the families of the witnesses, and he was able to get off for that, and it was very disheartening to hear that. And, people I don't think people have forgotten it, but people have, in some sense, have forgiven him. Because ever since that happened, he still been putting out records left and right. He's been performing with people, like, you know, he did that song with Lady Gaga last year. He's still appearing on award shows and doing stuff with other big stars, other big musical stars. And I'm thinking, shoot, to me, this dude would be like persona non grata. Like, he would be like, you know, nuclear. Like, I wouldn't go anywhere near him if I was like an artist, just because I think it's a high likelihood that he did these things he was accused of. And for me, as a, you know, as I want to call myself an R. Kelly fan, but I did enjoy his first three albums. I love Born Into the 90s, 12 Play, and the R. Kelly album. And for me, it's difficult for me to separate the art from the artist in the sense that he was accused of doing very sexual, very disgusting things with underage girls. And his art that he produces is like this freaky deaky music where he's like doing all kinds of sexy things,
right?
You know, making love like a dinosaur, you know, or whatever stuff that he does, you know. And it's like, okay, wait a minute, you make songs that are like always about sex,
right?
And then you're accused of doing like sexual misconduct deeds,
right?
And to me, that makes it very difficult to separate the art from the artist. You know, it's not like he was like a jazz artist,
right?
He just made, you know, sleepy time elevator music jazz. And then to me, it's like, okay, well, I can separate the two because I don't when I hear that music, I don't make that connection to that crime he's accused of,
right?
You know, and that's the thing with him.
I agree. Well, me, I've liked some of R. Kelly's music, but I have never purchased any of his music because I just haven't been that big of a fan to purchase anything. But yeah, I've certainly enjoyed an R. Kelly song or two or three or whatever, you know, popular songs that came on the radio and things like that. But yeah, when all of that came out with him, I was very much like totally grossed out. And I mean, with the video, I mean, I've seen clips of the video.
What? You've seen clips of the video?
Yeah, I mean, they showed it on TV and stuff, you know, like, yeah, they showed that stuff on TV. I mean, they show him doing what he did,
I remember seeing a still photo.
Well, maybe that's what I'm
of, like,
thinking,
you know,
of.
Yeah. Like, it looked like it was like a spa or a
bathroom.
But actually,
no, I did see like movement. No, it was I saw movement. I know.
Is that what you saw?
That sounds bad. I think they did show some of, you know, obviously they weren't showing like, you know, what actually happened. But yeah, I mean, the video was very dark and grainy. Who knows if it was really him or not?
It was either him or Aaron Hall. I mean, let's be real. I mean, it was only two guys that could have possibly been.
I mean, I can't remember if, like, when I saw it, I was like, ooh, that's definitely our, I can't remember, it's too far back. But yeah, I mean, when that all came out, I was just like, you know what, I honestly really felt like that was him because the whole situation with him and Aaliyah, and like, I was like, you like little girls.
Right. And yeah, another thing, the Aaliyah thing, you know, that shows like his past acts.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much indicate like, you know, maybe this dude was like really into young girls, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of just, yeah, solidified to me that I was like, yep, I'm not into him, and that, yeah, that's just gross.
So because you were never a fan, it's easy for you.
It's easy for me to say. Yeah, yeah, I have to say I was never. Like, a fan. I was a fan enough.
But what if I was okay? And that's the thing. Like, I think when it comes to artists, it's like if you're a fan of a particular person, it's going to be a lot more difficult to separate or the two, or not easier to separate.
Right.
If you're a fan, you rationalize.
Yeah.
You know, I rationalize stuff like, you know, like, I'm a huge Prince fan. Like, if Prince was accused of, like, doing that kind
of stuff. Oh, my God. What would you do?
I don't know what I would do. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm...
Oh, my God.
I would probably, like, find some way in my head to rationalize it. It's like, whatever, man. I just like his music, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the question. Like, if for you, like, if it was one of, you know, someone you're a huge fan of, like, I don't know, you like Mariah, but, you know, what if Mariah was accused of, like, you know, severely beating her kids or something
Oh, my God. That would break my heart.
Right, exactly. What if she was, like, some Joan Crawford, Mommy Dearest thing when she had, like, coat hangers and she was just,
you know, honestly, if that's, I'm gonna be really real with you. If that happened, like if something like that came, I would not support her anymore. That's horrible.
Really? So you wanna buy Mariah album? Would you still listen to the music you already have of Mariah? Would you like delete all her songs from your hard drive?
I don't know.
See, that's the thing.
I don't know if I would go that far. I probably just wouldn't listen. I mean, I wouldn't be like, I'm deleting, I'm throwing out all my CDs because I ain't got nothing on hard drive.
Because I haven't deleted any R. Kelly stuff. Like, I have the first three R. Kelly albums or portions of those albums, songs from those albums.
Uh-huh.
But then it also also it's kind of easier for me and to kind of cut him off, because actually I thought he started to suck after the R. Kelly album. Like, mm-hmm. after his third album, like, he started to make crappy music to me. I mean, he had a couple of good songs here and there since then, but it's like he just became a caricature at that point. I mean, once he made a song called Half on a Baby.
Oh, that was done.
I was done with him. Because I was like, okay, you're just doing too much at this point. Yeah. So it's kind of easy for me to say, well, yeah, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to support R. Kelly. Because I had already checked out, you know, gotten off the R. Kelly train, you know, back in 96.
Right.
So it's kind of easy for me. But, I mean, for others who are R. Kelly fans, I don't know, it might be more difficult.
It's probably hard. Yeah, I would assume that it's probably hard. I mean, just think of all the Chris Brown fans out there.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, we weren't Chris Brown fans, so
yeah, we
when
were.
He you know, did what he did, it was very easy to be like,
well, and I'm able to rationalize why, you know, I have this contempt for him is for two reasons, because I saw the pictures of what he did to Rihanna. Like, that was more than just, oh, we just got into an argument, we pushed and shoved each other. Like, he beat her like she was like a man. Like, her face was terrible. I was like, wow, like, he really did a number on her. I don't care if she was fighting back and it was like a mutual fight. Like, how you gonna tell me a grown man can, like, you know, it's a fair fight between a grown man and, like, you know, a 100-pound woman.
Mm-hmm.
And her face looked terrible. And then the second part, I was like, I've had discussions with people about this before, and they don't like my position, but I just don't think he was contrite enough after mm-hmm. the fact. Like, he, instead of, like, you know, and it's just more of a feeling. I mean, it's not, like, a science to, like, how contrite someone should be. It's just more of, like, my opinion, how you feel. And I just felt like he didn't really take it serious enough in the sense that, you know, he was complaining about people not playing his album. Not more than like 4 or 5 months after the incident, he's complaining about Walmart not carrying his album and radio stations weren't playing his songs, whatever album that came out that year. And I'm thinking, dude, you need to fall back right now, because this is still fresh in people's minds. And you can't complain that people aren't playing your music after you beat the crap out of Rihanna and it became public and everyone knew about it. And plus, you know, the fact that it's been the knucklehead ever since. It's not like he did this one thing and he cleaned up his act and has been clean ever since. Like, ever since then, he's been in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw a freaking chair out a window at Good Morning America for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, he's been arrested for various things and
had with Drake in the club.
Right, and had to serve community service. And then when he was doing his community service, he was cheating on the community service. He wasn't really doing it. I mean, he's done so many bad things since then. It's, like, hard for me to, like, give him the benefit of the doubt and say, oh, it was long ago, give him a chance. Like, no, he hasn't shown that he deserves another chance, because he's been acting like a knucklehead ever since.
He's shown that he has issues and he needs to get help. He needs to be in constant therapy to work out his issues. And the most recent thing, how he went off on the host of The Real about what they were talking about. And they weren't even, like, talking about him per se, but bringing up his whole relationship with his now, I guess, ex-girlfriend, Karrueche. And, you know, he just went off on Instagram to them. And that, I mean, it's just like, he just has issues. Like, who does that? You know, it's just like, come on, you're in the public eye. Like, you're not just some random Joe. Like, you know.
Yeah, serious issues. And because of that, like, it means just never being a fan from the jump. It's easy for me to just dismiss him and just be like, yeah, he's a scumbag. And, you know, that may not be fair, but
he's just proving more and more that he just is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not a particularly fair and balanced critique of him, but that's just my opinion. But there's other folks who, you know, they are fans and they're for whatever reason, they're able to separate.
As well as other artists have been able to kind
look
of
past
bring
it.
Him back. Yeah. Right. That he's been on countless, you know, records,
with people and tours and I guess, you know, people, I mean, but hey, this is me and my opinion. If those people want to do that, go right ahead. Yeah. I mean,
people have been able to forgive him and, you know, and I don't feel like, it's right to, you know, just keep what he did to Rihanna, like, hanging over his head for the rest of his life. However, you can't help but to think of it when he just keeps messing up and doing all these things that, you know, showcases his anger and showcases just how he just seems to react without thinking about his actions. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be that person to just think like he can't move past the Rihanna thing, but it's just hard when you keep seeing him do things over and over again that are just terrible. But I was going to also bring up Michael Vick. You know, that That's another
but person. He's like the exact opposite of Chris Brown in the sense
well,
that
well, he's
like,
gotten his stuff. But I'm just saying, when right. all of that stuff came out, right. like, could you know, I am not a Michael Vick fan because I am not like that big of a football fan. But right. so for me, you know, when I heard about all this stuff, I was kind of like, dude.
But also, dude. You're a fan of dogs. Like, I'm not a fan of dogs. Like, well, to me, I didn't see the severity or the magnitude of, you know, what he did to those dogs. You know, I'm not saying it was, you know, I didn't think it was right, obviously, but I didn't really see, like, how bad it was because I'm not, like, an animal lover like that, you know? So that's why, you know, when it happened, like, I was like, wow, like, these people are really think he's, like, a really scumbag. And which is, you know, that's a fair point, but like I said, with respect to him versus Chris Brown, is but ever since then, ever since he went to prison, he came out, dude has been a model citizen. I mean, he paid back all the debt he had. He had to pay back, you know, lawyers. He had to pay fines to the government for various things. He had to pay, you know, all the things that are involved with his situation. He had to pay all his debts back. He was a model citizen ever since he got out. He paid all his debts. He's been a good guy, a good teammate. Hasn't gotten in any trouble that I know of. And to me, that's like, boom, that's good. You know, he's not as good as a football player as he was, and he really wasn't the same after he came out of prison. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, he was someone who, like, did what you're supposed to do. You know, he had a terrible mistake, and he looks like he recognizes that mistake. I mean, I don't know how sincere he truly is. I don't know what's in his heart, but he's done all the right things, as opposed to Chris Brown, who's done all the
wrong things.
All the wrong things.
Yeah, yeah. No, I give Michael Vick credit for that and, like, not doing anything and not getting back involved in, like, dog fighting and stuff like that or whatever and, you know, just cleaning up things. But, like, I was going to ask you, though, even though you're not a fan of dogs, I mean, they are living creatures.
Yeah, they are.
I'm
not justifying killing dogs.
I know you're not,
but I'm just saying,
like, they are living things. And I think a lot of people just felt kind of like, you just took, like, an innocent creature's life. Like, and the way that he did it is that, I think that's what really just hits home for me, or
I think it hits home for people who have pets or have had pets.
Well, sure.
Pet love. Like, they have a different attachment to it than someone who's probably never had pets like myself, or isn't really considered a pet lover. Like,
yeah, no,
you know, I just look at it from
that.
A different perspective, you know? It's like, I don't have that connection to him, so, like, I don't see it as bad as someone who's, like, always had pets and loved them, and, like, they take it really hard when something terrible happens to an animal like that. So that, I mean, that's just the thing. It's just the difference of our own life experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I understand. I was just saying, though, it would just be, it's not that, like, what if he killed, like, little fluffy bunnies, though? Like, you don't like bunnies. I mean, like, you've never had bunnies.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, I mean, I'm not saying it's right. Like, I feel like you're trying to force me to, like, say that thought it was okay that he was killing animals. I mean, it's a heinous act to kill these animals. I'm not saying it's not a heinous act. I just say at the time, the way I viewed it wasn't the same as what everyone else viewed it. Like, if everyone thinks on a scale of 1 to 10 and 10 being the worst thing a person can do in the world, if people who were animal lovers at the time, they thought it was a 10, I probably thought it was like a 7, you know? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not trying to really quantify it, but I was just trying to give you an idea of, like, you know, my outrage wasn't to the same level as other folks.
Yeah.
And that's probably due to the fact that I never had
never experienced that loss before of a pet.
So that's why, to me, it wasn't like as big a deal. I looked at it more like, man, he just killed a dog. That's messed up. As opposed to someone who's had a pet. It's like, oh my goodness, he killed a dog. Throw him under the jail.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I understand.
Yeah, so. And, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, we're going to wrap things up here soon. But, yeah, it's I think, you know, for me, and I've been saying it ad nauseum throughout this podcast, is me, I find a way to rationalize how I can separate the art from the artist or the product from the producer internally. I figure out reasons. I mean, it might be hypocritical, but I think we all do in some sense because there's no way that we can say, you know, there's a difference between Bill Cosby and R. Kelly and like James Brown and Chris Brown and Miles Davis and all these people who have been accused of doing terrible things to other people and women and things like that. Like, you can't sit up there and say, I'm a fan of Miles Davis, but I don't like James Brown. Like, well, they both have been accused of like beating women, you know, and some of, and I think in Miles Davis's case, he may have admitted to beating women before. So it's like, you can't really distinguish that. It's like, we're all hypocrites in that sense.
I think what it comes down to, maybe it comes down to this, but maybe it's what they did. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, beating somebody is pretty serious. Like, yeah, that's obviously Bill Cosby, like, raping, that's like pretty serious, right? You know,
what about peeing on 14-year-old girls?
That's pretty serious. That is pretty serious. So, you know, maybe it comes down to
the severity of the crime,
right? Because you do want, because I always think of this too, that, you know, we put you know, celebrities, people, famous people on pedestals, and we forget, like, hey, they're real people. Like, they they're gonna mess up too. And so I tend to remember that. I try to remember that when somebody does something, you hear of somebody doing something, and, you know, everybody, no one's perfect, and everybody's gonna mess up at some point in their life. So that's the first thing I think of. But then, yeah, like, the next thing is, like, what did they do? You know, it's like, you know, because there have been tons of celebrities out there who've done
terrible things,
crazy things. Yeah, there's a lot of people who drink and drive. There's a lot of that stuff that happens all the time. That I can, you know, I can overlook. Like, Reese Witherspoon, I just, because she's the first person I just came to my mind because of that video. Was hilarious. But yeah, like, you know, she, you know, I like Reese, she's cool, whatever, but, you know, dude, like, you're out there drinking and driving, that's not really smart. But right. I can put, you know, everybody has a moment where they are not perfect.
Right, a lapse,
you know,
in judgment. Exactly,
a lapse in judgment. So, you know, I can put that past her. But yeah, like, you know, there are just other things out there that I personally just, yeah, I'm going to be like, shouldn't be out there, you know, dogfighting and
killing dogs. Drowning dogs, yeah, electrocuting them.
So sad.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Anyway,
yeah, we just ended this podcast on a sad note, but that's okay. We want to thank everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. And like I said before, please leave us comments, reviews on iTunes. Let us know that you're out there, that you're listening.
Yes.
I hope there's people actually out there listening.
I hope you're listening.
I have no idea.
Let us know. No, we do. We know some people.
We know some people are listening. So please let your voice be heard. Let us know if there's any topics you want us to tackle. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the podcast, please let us know.
And if you have any ideas or suggestions for topics, you can let us know that also.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good night.
Sit rolling around, sitting on doves, had my hours high on shrubs, cooling in my Escalade. Man, I'm paid, I got it made. Take me to your special place. Close your eyes, show me your face. I'm gonna piss on it. Lovers wanna hate, lovers wanna love. I don't even know. None of the above, I want to piss on you. Yes, I do. I'll piss on you. I'll pee on you. Set your body, your body. It's a porta potty. And my pee got kicked. I can taste your body. I'm gonna pee on you. Drip, drip, drip. Pee on you. Pee on you. On you, on you, you never feel quite the same when you get a whiff of my Hershey stains. I wanna poop on you too. I want to pee in your food. Only thing to make my life complete when I turn your face to a toilet seat. I want to pee on you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'll pee on you. I'll piss on you. Haters wanna hate. Lovers wanna love. I don't even want none of the above. I want to piss on you. It's a boo-up, it's on you, I'll pee on you. Won't you break my head? Won't you break my head? Before you start, I'm gonna fall. I won't fall on you. Normally I don't do this, but I'm gonna get y'all off with a little taste of the remix. Y'all ready? Here we go. I pick you up from the club, take you home to make some love. Got a surprise, close your eyes, I'm gonna cover you in suds. I'ma give you some poo-poo, I'ma give you some pee-pee, I'ma give you some doo-doo, I'm washing down some wee-wee. This is the remix edition of a song about pissing. I got the pee and leaking, leaking, and there's juice in the kitchen. Yeah, that's how it goes at the R. Kelly party. I sip Chris, you drink piss. I want this on your remix, you heard? No, I'm serious. I really do want to piss on you.